Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Thursday. It is the 17th of February, 2022. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. And because it is Thursday, guess who's with me? Hi, Bob.
I'm trying to guess who's with you. Oh.
Well.
Hi, Kelly.
You're there.
I'm here.
Okay. So you're here today because you're going to talk to us about a pretty great service. And part of the reason that I think this service, part of the reason I think it's great is because I know a lot of people don't really like subscriptions. But what it, you know, one of the reasons people don't like them is because it's another line item and, you know, you have to keep track of it and everything. But this allows you to do a whole bunch of different things with that one subscription.
230 to be precise. That's how many apps there are in SetApp. All right, we gave away the punchline early, but I think it's prudent to do so because everything we're going to talk about today, you can have for $8.99 a month if you pay for a year in advance, $9.99 a month if you don't, if you pay by the month, and I think a couple more bucks for a family plan. So.
Nice.
And Kelly, later on at the end, later in this broadcast, Kelly's going to tell you a little secret for getting free months of service from SetApp. Yes.
Yes.
And we said the F word. Yes, we did.
Don't make me edit, Bob.
Hey. What? Wait a minute.
I'm kidding.
I was so very prudent there.
You were. So SetApp is.
That was called innuendo, by the way.
I know. I not only do I know, I also know how to spell innuendo. So here's the thing with SetApp is that it's a service and you sign up for SetApp and then initially you have a free 7-day trial. So you can try everything for a week for free and then and there's no ads or anything like that. It's sort of like the trial subscriptions in the App Store. Right, Bob?
Yes.
Okay. So once you get set up, how do you... This is going to sound weird, but how do you actually use it? Like once you log in and want to get going, what do you do?
So you launch the SetApp app.
Okay.
Which is like the App Store. So the SetApp app contains the descriptions and download buttons for 230 items.
Okay.
It's actually kind of cool. Lately, they have some of the items you can also have the iOS version, even though there's not really an iOS version of SetApp, and you don't pay for it as a separate subscription. But a lot of these apps have a separate iOS app that's included in this. And it's like if you're logged in on your Mac to the thing, the iOS version automatically unlocks itself for you. It's like if you download it from the App Store. Right. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So it's not for all of them, but I'd say a couple of dozen surprised me with, oh yeah, you can also use the iOS app with this.
Okay.
But it's its own app with its own like store browser, but you don't pay for anything. You just, whatever you like, you can install, you click the install button, and then it's installed in your applications folder just like any other app.
Okay.
The only difference is it's connected to SetApp, and if you don't pay your bill every month, it stops working.
Yeah. Okay. So I will tell you what the pricing is. It's $10 a month for one Mac, for just you, just your computer. If you want to add the iOS component for the apps that have an iOS component on it, it's $12.49 a month. And if you want to have it on all your stuff, you want it on iOS devices and four different Macs, then that's $14.99 a month. And those prices drop if you're not paying monthly. So it's if you pay for a year up front, you're paying $9 a month or $11.24 a month or $13.49 a month for whichever plan it is that you prefer. So you get like 10% off or so by doing that. So I just wanted to let you know that. If it sounds like something that would be cool for your work, they also have a Teams option. So that may be a thing that's interesting to you. And you can manage, you know, the number of people on your team and that kind of thing pretty easily. So if you needed to do that, you could do that. But mostly the thing I wanted to ask you about, Bob, is I know in your column over at themacobserver.com this week, you mentioned some of the apps that were outstanding to you, and I kind of want to talk about those.
Well, not just kind outstanding. Of. These are ones that I, you know, use all the time and either bought or was a regular user of before SetApp existed. A lot of them are. You know, these are things that I just use.
Yeah.
So in alphabetical order, because I don't want to play favorites.
Yes.
Because I like all of these. So A is for App Tamer, which is this little utility that lets me either slow down or quit apps when they use too much CPU.
Ooh,
but it does it all in the background automatically for me. And so, and I'm looking at you, Safari and Chrome. but you know, the thing is, if you don't close your browser regularly and you have a lot of tabs open, it will eventually slow your Mac to a crawl. It just chews up all of your CPU. Each of those tabs that's open starts chewing up CPU and memory, too. So AppTamer can keep an eye on it and fix it automatically. If Safari starts running and using more than X amount of the CPU, I can tell it either slow down or shut Safari up, quit it. And it'll do that, and it doesn't interfere with you. It doesn't, like, if it's in the background, you don't even notice. It just does it. It either slows it down or quits it. And it's super because... on the generation of Macs that I have, you can only get 16 gigs of RAM. And honestly, I keep it full all the time. It's like, it's very nice. It's very nice to have something looking after me and quitting things that I haven't used in a while that are using resources I can't afford for them to use. So it's a really nice, I mean, I keep Activity Monitor running in a corner of the screen all the time. But I don't usually look at it. That's the problem, is it requires you to look at it and make decisions. So I really like AppTamer. It's one of those, like, really keeps my day running well. And I don't even usually think about it. It sits in the menu bar, and really, unless I pull it down and see what it's slowed down or quit, I don't even think about it. It's just keeping my Mac running better.
Yeah.
So A is for AppTamer. B is for Bartender.
Oh, Bartender. Okay, before we talk about Bartender, because I too have a love note that I would like to write to Bartender. But before we do that, I just want to take a minute and talk to you about I want to talk about our sponsor this week, Nomad Goods. Now, Nomad started about 10 years ago as a Kickstarter project. They're based in Santa Barbara, California, and they make mobile accessories. So they have... charging solutions that are wireless. You can, you know, get something that's wireless charging, upgrade your charging situation, stop having all those cables, because they have a lot of things that are multi-device. So it'll do your phone and your AirPods and your watch, and you can get that all set up without all of those cables everywhere. And if what you don't like is flimsy cables, they also make some cables, and those cables have Kevlar around the outside, which is super awesome. I really like my Nomad cables. And I personally, like, I like all their stuff, and I use a bunch of it because I like it so much. One of the other things I like that they have is the leather that they use is Horween leather. And so their watch bands and the cases that they have that are made out of Horween leather, they smell amazing, and it smells almost as good as it looks. And then the wear on them is always super cool. And they're also certified climate neutral brand. So there's loads of reasons why I like them. So if you want to get in on this, check out Nomad at nomadgoods.com/TDO to see what living the Nomad life is all about. That's NOMADGOODS.com/TDO. And I'd like to thank Nomad for sponsoring the show today. So let's talk Bartender.
Okay, let's.
I love Bartender so much, in fact, that I had Ben from Surtees Software, I think is the name of the company.
Yes, it is.
I had Ben on the show to talk about Bartender after Apple decided that your computer screen should have a notch in it. And I went, I don't know what the opposite of Sherlock is, but I think they just did that to Bartender. And so I had Ben on to talk about it. And we had a lovely conversation. And Bartender is one of those things that I feel like if you end up in front of a computer that doesn't have Bartender installed, you know immediately, and you sort of feel bad for that person. And so, like, as a public service, you almost feel like you just have to get them set up with Bartender because your life will be better if you do. So tell people how it works.
So, okay, Bartender manages your menu bar icons. And so if you have more menu bar icons than will fit in the menu bar.
And if you have a reasonable number of apps installed yourself, then the answer to that is yes, you do.
Right. And the thing is, if you don't have Bartender, you're just screwed because stuff just disappears off your menu bar randomly. Mm-hmm. You can't control which things you're going to see.
Right.
And if you open an app that's got 11 menus, it knocks all of your menu bar items off.
Yeah.
And they just go away. They don't like go somewhere where you can find them. They just aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's really inelegant of Apple to not... Now, I hate to say this, poor Ben, he's going to get Sherlocked someday, but it's inelegant of Apple to, you know, have the menu bar be so disorganized and unorganizable.
Yeah.
So you can move stuff around with the command key, but you can't really control what's going to disappear if the menus for an app get longer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like whatever's there disappears. And sometimes it's not necessarily the thing to the far left. Usually, but not always. Anyway, Bartender lets you decide what goes in the menu bar and what is hidden, but still available in the menu bar. So the things that I like to look at all day long, mm-hmm. like how much RAM I have and some of the menu meters,
iStat menus.
iStat menus, yeah. So I have all that kind of stuff always in the menu and how much battery I have and things that I use all the time, like the Wi-Fi widget and the volume widget.
Yeah.
All of that stuff I leave in the menu bar, but I have a ton of other stuff that I need occasionally, and that stuff lives in the Bartender hidden menu bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I can recall that thing with a keystroke, but I usually just go up to the menu and click on the Bartender icon,
mm-hmm.
which opens up my other menu bar. So I have about a dozen, maybe more, icons that I don't use very often, but I don't want hidden because they alert me when something goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So they will flash. And Bartender's smart. It'll move an icon from its hidden place to the main menu bar if it's flashing to get your attention.
And that was the thing I was going to point out about it, is that what I like is I can hide all of those icons, because the way it works is you can hide those icons, but then you can have them pop up if they need to alert you, or you can tell it, you know, if it's doing something, like if you've ever noticed the Dropbox icon syncing a file or something like that. if you need it, you know, if it's doing that, it will pop up in the menu bar, and then when it's done doing what it needs to do, it'll hide again. And so that's the thing I like about Bartender. First of all, hiding all those icons,
smart.
But keeping them where I can get them if I need them is the first thing that's great. But the second thing is that it will also show me the ones I need to see when I need to see them. There's an alert going on with, you know, Keyboard Maestro's having some sort of problem. Okay, now I can go take a look at it and see what's going on. Or, you know, my whatever other icon I've got up there, you know, it pops up for some reason, and then I can take a look, see what's going on with it, and then, you know, be done with it. And that's the part I like the most about getting to use Bartender, is that it also, aside from hiding everything, it also makes it so I can see the stuff I need to see when it's necessary.
Absolutely. I love Bartender. What a winner. That was one that I bought before SetApp even, before it was in SetApp. Clean My Mac X or 10, I'm not sure.
Clean My Mac's a good one.
Yeah, it's another one that's in SetApp. It's a $35 purchase and well worth it. Its space lens is maybe the best thing I've found for tracking down those big files when you're trying to clean up and make some space. It's just very intuitive for going down the breadcrumb trail of which folder is bloated and what's in it that bloats it. It makes it very easy to find the biggest, hoggiest files and folders quickly. It also has a large and old files search that works really well. So between those two, I managed to keep my my SSD, which isn't that big. It's a 1 terabyte, but I keep it under 500 gigabytes so that I have plenty of room for, you know, temp files and videos and things that I'm working on and stuff. And Clean My Mac is really the only program I'm using anymore for that part. It also has a bunch of other stuff that I run once a month. Just all kinds of cleaning up stuff. Some of it duplicates stuff that is in other apps I run regularly, like Onyx. But if you don't already have it and you have a problem, see, here's the thing. If your disk gets full, your Mac slows down.
Yes.
The fuller it gets, the slower things go. And it gets to a point where you can't do anything. And you don't want to get there. And so, you know, I never come close, but a lot of people run pretty close to the bone on this. And if you don't have 50 or 100 gigabytes of free space, you are going to get yourself in trouble. So this is how I avoid that.
Yeah, it's.
Then I skipped a bunch of letters and went right to the P's for paste.
Okay.
Paste is still my favorite clipboard history manager. There's a million apps that do clipboard history. And I thought to myself, why am I going to pay for another one? But I'll tell you why. It's got a killer feature, iCloud syncing.
Ooh, okay.
And it syncs with my iOS devices. So if I copy something on my Mac, it lives on my iOS devices in paste.
Okay.
For I think I've got it set to save stuff for a month just so it doesn't get out of control. But really, anything I've cut or copied on my Mac, I can find on my iDevice now. You know, it's in this paste app. And really, all the time, I'm wanting that stuff. It's like that email address I copied yesterday.
Yeah.
Probably the fastest way for me to find it on my iOS device is to look in paste. So I love it. It also has folders, or it calls them pin boards, I think.
Okay. But
they're folders, so you can organize saved clipboards. So I have stuff like signatures that I've saved where I can just drag and drop them into things.
That's cool.
Where you don't have multiple signatures like you do in mail. Like if you're in a web browser and you're composing something and you want to, you know, bring in your signature, this is a pretty fast way to do it.
Yeah, nice. Well, let's leave the rest of it for people to go check out so they can go check out your column over at MacObserver.com. And if you have a favorite app that you use in said app that you want to make sure Bob's getting all the mileage out of that he can, you can let us know at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. So, Bob, thanks so much, as always, for being here today.
Always a pleasure.
And I'm your host, Kelly Gamott. I'll talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.